Hey Potters, welcome to episode 238 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay. Woohoo!
Lou. I'm tired.
Apparently I have all the energy tonight.
You have all the energy because I've been watching all the Olympic coverage, but I try to do it live when it happens. That means like I'm getting up a little bit earlier than normal every day to watch it, and then staying up way too late to watch it.
Today was actually my first day without caffeine, so I don't know if I'm just like doing the reverse of a caffeine
crash
hangover. Yeah, it's like I'm hyped up when I totally should be having a crash right now.
Yeah, I would not be surviving. I don't know how you're doing it.
I don't either. I'll let you know when I find out.
We'll know at the end of the episode.
But speaking of no caffeine and being hyped up,
yeah.
I was really excited with my cosplay updates. You remember the molds that I was talking about last time, the little silicone things.
Sure.
And I had a chance to finally play with them. And I am a little sad because they came out like this.
You tried.
I know my camera is not high def enough for you to see all of the pockmarks and holes and totally not
We can
smooth.
See it. We can see it.
This one actually turned out decently, but it's not entirely a mod melt. The upper portion of that is hot glue, because in order to get mod melt into my hot glue gun, I had to get the remaining hot glue out.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to waste it, so I just let it drizzle into the mold while it was heating up.
Why not, right?
That was fun. But you can see all the others look really kind of sad. You can see that one didn't even finish.
Yeah.
And then the last one is even worse.
Those look so bad. They look like little snot balls.
It's about that color. And the hilarious thing, and I'll show you one because I have the package next to me. This, folks, is beach glass clear. Yes, Plaid, I'm calling you out. This is not beach glass clear.
No.
It's supposed to be. It's marked like that on the package. This is freaking squirt yellow.
Squirt
this is
yellow.
Not clear at all.
Wow.
Yes, for those of a certain age who ever drank squirt, which is a soda, incidentally. It's not a euphemism. It is soda.
It was for us 90s kids.
It was a knockoff of Sprite with a whole bunch of extra lemon in it.
Yep.
But this cloudy color that's the hot glue is the color they're supposed to be. No, they're actually about this color. Solid yellow.
Those just look
Plaid,
nasty.
What are you doing to me? It is nasty. And unfortunately, the thing about silicone molds is that you don't really have to use mold release with these.
Right.
You
usually
can simply
you don't.
Just pop them out. It was incredibly hard to get the castings out of the molds. I had to squeeze and poke and prod and coax and beg these things to release my castings. And that was after they had cooled off. I don't know if it's because of the medium that I used, because they're not intended for use with mod melts.
Probably.
They're intended for use with resin. But that said, these are a thermoplastic. These are a hard plastic. They're not like hot glue, which is a soft plastic. So these are actually really similar to like a softer resin, not a soft resin, softer. So this should have worked. And it kind of did. But then I pulled an Amber. I microwaved one of these.
Oh my lord.
Because what I found out as I was using the molds is that the mod melts cool off fairly quickly, at least in terms of casting with them. It's not so cool that you want to put your finger on them. Please don't. But in terms of casting, it hardens fairly quickly, and so you kind of have to get it to where the mold is full, unless you want pockets of air. Well, you can't really do that very well with a hot glue gun. It's not designed for that purpose to fill a mold. So what I was trying to do is to melt this into a liquid so I could pour it in, like resin. I microwaved it 3 times, in a microwave safe container, might I add. I did it safely. I did it for 60 seconds each time, and after 3 minutes in the microwave, this is still, it was not soft. It was nowhere close to a liquid. In fact, it was still literally in rod form. So needless to say, I cannot melt this down easily. I was going to boil it in water.
Oh my lord.
But I do not have a boil bag, which for those who do not know, are used to make candles. You put candle wax in them and then you stick the bag in boiling water and it works kind of like sous vide.
There's a couple of very, very, very early old school cosplay items where they came in these little beads and you had to use a boil bag in order to get them to melt and mold it afterward.
And those are safe for use with boiling water because the plastic will not melt into the water and poison your food. So if I can get my hands on a boil bag, because Joanne's no longer carries them, then I'm going to take one of these because I still have a bunch left and I'm going to boil a sucker.
Amber's experimenting.
Amber is experimenting. That's the only way you learn stuff.
She's going to destroy her kitchen so you don't have to.
Well, you know, somebody has to do it for the sake of science, because this really is a form of science.
Only Amber.
Of course. I did use up the three, because I cut it into three parts when I microwaved it so they'd fit inside the container I was using. I did use all three up, so I didn't, you know, throw them out and poison the food supply. I don't know quite what to do with these, since I cannot melt them back down.
Garbage.
Probably. I don't think there's any way I can salvage these by, you know, basically spackling putty on them and then painting them with nail polish.
It won't work.
So unfortunately, those were a fail, and I think I'm probably going to end up having to go and buy more resin, which I was hoping not to do. I was hoping to, you know, use up all of my supplies that I've been trying to use up. But no, it doesn't look like these are good for anything. I loved them when I first bought them, but it's not working out for me.
And I'm wondering if yours have gone bad, because that discoloration is insanely bad. Like, but I have the pure white ones and mine are still fine.
Which is hilarious because these have been kept in an absolutely dark cabinet.
Yeah, so but in all theory, they shouldn't have turned that color that quickly.
They shouldn't have turned any color.
Yeah.
If they're in a dark cabinet, they should not discolor. And my apartment does not get warm enough for it to discolor either. But who knows what happened?
Who knows?
Maybe this was an earlier bad batch, because I have had these for a little while. I'll have to figure out something else to do with them.
You'll figure it out. It'll be fine.
But also, I did not set off the smoke detector.
Hey,
that's very important to know.
That's all that matters.
So there you have it. Those have been Amber's escapades in cosplay.
She is trying to melt down mod melts with her microwave. Not the safest method.
You know, they're intended to melt. It's in the name.
It is in the name.
I was trying to liquefy them. If I can liquefy hot glue, I should be able to liquefy these.
I am not going to test my patch to see what happens. No, thank you. I will not confirm or deny this.
I'll do it for the sake of silence. Science. And no, Wave Rod, these are not quite amber. These are more like the... Okay. Disclaimer. Do not eat. Do not eat. Not food.
I think most people know that.
Just saying for those who have never encountered these on the show, and we have younger people watching too. These are like the honey sticks you get at Scarborough Fair.
Okay. I have no idea what those actually look like.
They are literally straws that are sealed top and bottom that have pure, unprocessed honey in them from local farms, local beekeeper farms.
Okay.
And you just snip the top off and you eat the honey inside. That's honestly all there is to it. It's really sweet tasting because it's unprocessed.
I honestly thought you were going to go for, like, spaghetti.
Apparently, that's also what Waverod thought. And if this were a little thinner, I would agree with you.
There's some thicker spaghettis that are like this.
This is a little thick even for fettuccine. Or fettuccine. It's still a little bit thick for that.
There are a lot of pastas on the market. I don't know if you're aware of this. Some of them are as big and fat like that.
Please give me some, because I love pasta.
Absolutely. I stockpile them.
Anyways, your turn.
Okay, so I figure I'll unveil this as best as I can, but this is probably going to fail miserably, so I think wearing it might be the best possible option. So here we go as we attempt to put this on very poorly. Wow, and upside down and backwards. It's not completely finished yet. However,
It's very spiky.
It's very spiky because all of the scales are now attached. It is greatness in a can. It is just so, it's so great.
In a bolero.
Yeah, in a nice little bolero form. And it's gotten kind of warm too because all of the layers have been added to it. So obviously it's gotten warmer. But yeah, I'm now very, very shiny, very, very spiky. And all of them are on and I can't stop petting it. It's great. I will say it definitely took way more scales than what I had initially anticipated. I think I actually started tabulating how many scales it took me. And the small and the large ones, I was right on the money. All the medium ones, way more than I had anticipated, like 120 more than I had anticipated. So yeah, it was good stuff. So now I'm at the point where I'm just doing little bits of cleanup work. I've already put the last little bits of the edging on. I still gotta get the closure fixed in, but then this will be done. It'll be nice and neat and cool. I don't know when the heck I will wear this. Probably to AllCon, assuming I go to AllCon next year. And just constantly petting myself, because this is just so cool. I love it.
Beware, you may have people at conventions that try and pet it too.
I know, right? I'm going to have like a giant ball around me saying like, no. I'm going to make a huge skirt that extends out by 10 feet so nobody can get near me.
Do what the kids do and wear a hat that has pool noodles.
Right? I've seen those. And I've seen them made like for like chest pieces and waist pieces too. I'm like, That's great.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm very, very happy with this. And this was very easy to do given, even though, yes, it was time consuming because of all this. But because my space is still very discombobulated with all the plumbing issues at the house, I really only have like this much space to do any type of work. So because it was such tiny space, I was like, well, I can spend this time just cutting out scales. I mean, I don't really need to do much else than cut. It doesn't take a whole lot of effort. It's just time consuming. So that made this much, much easier to get it all completed. Yay! And I did make my own little additions too. The way that this sits on your hand is nice, but I felt it was a little too floopy. So I went ahead and add little finger pieces to it. And I like it a lot better this way. Yes. So much nicer.
Yes.
And I rounded out the collar a little bit. The collar is meant to be a little bit more like straight and spiky to kind of replicate the spikes. I went ahead and just kind of smoothed it because I like curves better than I like straight hard edges. So I went with curves on it. So yeah. Party time.
It's a nicer contrast too, because if you have a garment that's all the same style, it can look very mono. Contrast is very good, I find.
It's good between the sharpness of the scales and then the softness of everything else. Because even though the points here are a little rounded, they're still pointy.
Right. And the finger loops, the way those are constructed, are a little bit rounded too.
Yeah, so it balances nicely.
The shape of it's triangular, but it's round points on the triangle, which is much better too.
It's so nice and cool. I love seeing this on my dress form though, because it just looks so sharp. I'm like, heck yeah, this is cool.
Literally and figuratively.
Literally and figuratively. I'm ready to take a photo of this so I can finally post my review to the pattern maker and give my final thoughts on it. Definitely not for beginners.
I don't know why it makes me think of Maleficent.
It's got that feel to it.
It kind of makes me want to give you like a Maleficent headband, the horn headband to go with it.
I can definitely see that, and it's probably because of the way that this is designed, and also it has all that shading underneath it, so it's not just straight purple. Yep. You've got the black undertones to everything, so that probably helps give that illusion too.
Yep.
I'm happy that it's pretty much done. It's just little tweaks here and there and cleaning up, and then I'm set. I'm just happy all the scales are on it, so I don't have to think about it anymore. No scales for a while. Sorry, people, I'm not going to make you one. If you want to make your own for your Charizard outfit, you go buy the pattern and make it yourself.
It's a very good pattern.
It's a very good pattern. I highly recommend it.
Well worth the price.
Very much so. Especially since I got it on sale.
Yeah, it won't be Joanne's prices, unfortunately, when those are on sale, Ooh. But it's still worth it.
It was very much worth the $13. I was happy to spend it.
Yes.
So yeah, that's what I've got finished, and everything else is just in chaos and insanity. Now I gotta figure out what the next project is gonna be. I don't know what. It's gotta be something small, though, so maybe I'll start working on other cosplay pieces that are very, very tiny.
I've started getting rid of more and more stuff, so
Yay!
My hope is that, assuming that my hand heals, which I know I didn't mention it on the show, but more or less, I tweaked something in my hand to where I can't grab, push, or pull things with this hand without shooting pain. So hopefully that will heal ASAP, because I would like to get my crafting table back so that I can finish sewing the things that are on it, because there are two projects that are sitting on it. One is the vest and one is my Athena dress. But until I can hold them, I can't do anything with them.
Right.
So fingers crossed, I would like to have that space back. Because Halloween is coming!
Halloween is coming! I'm looking forward to it.
They haven't put it out in Walmart yet, but that day is coming very soon, since locally we just started school this week.
Right.
So that means in about 2 weeks, the Halloween stuff's going to start coming out. I always go through all the accessories, mostly because you can upcycle them.
Yeah.
Closet cosplay. And I find that very useful. Mouse cosplay?
Because I said I need to start on something small.
Oh, okay. I was really confused. Like, holy non sequitur, Batman. Where did that come from? I think the smallest thing you have is the alpaca.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think I have anything smaller than that.
You can make an outfit for the alpaca.
I could.
Go with your Halloween costume.
I really could. Or for my Bulbasaur plush.
You could make it into a Bulbasaur.
Good, I need two Bulbasaurs in my life.
A smaller one and a bigger one. What is the evolution?
So it's
a Bulbasaur?
Bulbasaur, Ivysaur, Venusaur.
Venusaur. So the alpaca needs to be Venusaur. Because it's so much larger.
It's way larger. But however, the Bulbasaur is almost like a one-to-one scale. So it's actually kind of a big, chunky boy. So the alpaca is actually smaller than Bulbasaur.
Then make the alpaca Bulbasaur and upgrade your Bulbasaur.
I didn't realize how big this thing was from Build-A-Bear until I received it. And I was like, oh, it's like a one-to-one scale, quite literally.
I thought you were talking about your little planter-sized Bulbasaur.
No, I actually have the big plushie that I got from Build-A-Bear. It's official from Nintendo. I wanted it because he's my fave. And I'm an adult and I can spend my money how I want to.
Speaking of video games, happy 35th, Metroid.
Right? Also, today is the very first day of the very first webpage that ever existed on the internet, August 6th, 1991.
Happy birthday, internet.
Yay, internet!
Chukahamida.
Should we get into our topic?
Let's.
I have no easy segue for this, so we're just going to jump right on into it. So for the topic that we're going to be doing today, we're going to show you guys how to assemble a printed pattern. It's something that kind of came into my head a couple of weeks ago. I thought this would be kind of a neat tutorial to put together, especially as more content has been moved online. It is so much easier now to buy a pattern, download it, and print it to your home printer, and then assemble it and make your cosplay. But usually, you don't get instructions on how exactly to assemble this pattern before you apply it to your cosplay. So, I hope that you guys enjoy this tutorial. As patterns move online with more cosplay-centric content, printing patterns at home has really taken off. But how do you put together these jigsaw puzzles? The answer? It's not the way you think. Let's cover the best way to put together a printable pattern. The benefits of a printed pattern is ease of accessibility, affordability, and for some vendors, they allow for customization to your size. Your tools and materials will be the printed pattern, scissors, clear tape, and a ruler. Before you start piecing, most paper patterns will have a print check to ensure you printed the pattern in the correct format. If it's too big or too small, you won't be able to use the pattern effectively. Use a ruler to confirm that the scale of the print is correct by checking the guide. Sometimes these guides will have an inch marker or ask you to use a credit card for scale. If the marker size isn't right, print a new version of the pattern. Now, the obvious way to piece a pattern is to lay it all out side by side, top and bottom, and tape them together, right? While it is the fastest, it's not the most accurate. If you don't take into account the curves, the grain lines, the darts, the pattern won't properly align. I'm going to show you a better method on two types of patterns. The first pattern has guide marks. These are not bust points. And this is to help you with lining up the paper pieces. It also has multiple size ranges. First things first, do not cut out the pattern to your size. It's best to get the pattern together in its entirety, then cut. And this is to ensure proper alignment across all pieces. What you'll want to do is isolate the individual paper pieces and cut around the pattern lines to get rid of the excess paper. I'm using a marker to show what areas I'm cutting away. The goal of connecting the pattern is to not use the edges of the paper as your guide. You want to use the pattern lines, the curves, the slopes, the darts, everything on the pattern itself. Next step is to determine which pattern component is going to be your base. Basically, the starting point that all the other pieces will adjust to. And then you will tape onto this. I like to select the biggest piece because it has the most stability and it's easier to tape on smaller sections to get it all to fit. Then I lay out all the pieces and overlap them to get a rough idea of how the pattern should connect. Because this pattern has guide marks, this will help in the placement process. With the smaller piece, cut in a straight line along the guides that will adhere to the base piece. Well-placed guides will not cut off any of the pattern marks. Place the smaller segment onto the base and adjust it till it lines up with the guide marks. Do the same with any remaining pieces. Because my pattern has three pieces, two large and one small, I made only one set of cuts along the guide for the second largest piece. The smallest piece had both sets of guides cut. This is so the pieces can overlap cleanly. It's difficult to tape a pattern that is cut right at the edge of those guides, because you're likely to get gaps between the pattern, which causes distortion to your work. Now it's time to tape. I prefer clear packing tape because it's stronger and not as easy to come off, and I also do it in small segments of tape. I don't tape down the full lines until all the pieces are secured. We all know how unruly tape can be. Standard desk tape works, but it won't hold as long. It doesn't have a strong bond. It is good if you are kind of messy with tape because you can easily remove and readjust the pattern before completely securing it. Be sure to tape the back of the pattern pieces to secure the hold. And that's it. The pattern has been put together. At this point, you can proceed with cutting it out to your measurements. The second pattern is one that was tailored to my measurements. So you'll only see two sets of lines with one of them indicating the seam allowance. There are no guide markers to connect the pieces. But like the first pattern, we'll be using the same method. Cut out the excess paper around the pieces. And lay them out to get an idea of how the pattern comes together. For these type of patterns without guides, you can use both the cut lines and the grain lines to match up each piece. Virtually every sewing pattern will have a dashed or solid arrow on every one of these to indicate grain lines. And like the last pattern, I'm gonna pick one piece as my base to adhere all the other sections to. I start with the largest, then I move to the second largest. Patterns like these will generally show some kind of cut line for you to follow. This is how you know where it's safe to remove the excess paper. And again, each section is taped down with small pieces of packing tape with a little bit of overlap on the base piece, So that way you get a nice strong bond and no gaps in between the cut lines. Because this is a pattern with curves on it, if I didn't take the time to match them properly, it would have distorted the pattern, thus resulting in an uneven piece when I transfer this to fabric. Once done taping both the front and back, you can cut the pattern to size. While the method may seem to involve more effort, it's a great way to ensure your pattern pieces line up without extra work down the line. As cosplay continues to grow and become more accessible, we hope that you all find this tutorial helpful for your future adventures. And we're back. Hope you guys that you enjoyed that tutorial, and now you can go forth and print all the patterns because now you know the proper way of putting them together.
Yep, and since the holidays are coming up, if you have somebody you know that really enjoys working with patterns, maybe consider getting them one of the printed patterns as a holiday gift, and that way they can work with it.
Even I am on board with this as somebody who's very anti-pattern.
To be fair, custom patterns bought online are a little different than commercial patterns.
Yes, I will say I'm going to be working with some fun ones that are customized to my size. I'm going to give them the whole test and see what happens. And if it actually comes out correctly to my size in the mock-up, I may be a convert. We'll have to see.
I eagerly await that day.
Right. It only took 10 years, Amber. You know, hey.
Val will finally join the Rebel Alliance. Not completely, though, because I know you're still not going to use commercial patterns.
No, absolutely not. I still do not like them. They are the bane of my existence. The amount of time I spend having to alter and adjust those is not worth the effort. It is faster for me to draft it myself.
Which, speaking of, hint, hint to craft stores, having a machine that could custom print patterns for you in store would not only reduce the number of returns you have to take back from people whose patterns don't fit, but it would also take up a lot less storage space than all of those giant cabinets that you have with all of the different patterns that no one is buying right now. It would be so much easier for you to just have one machine that prints patterns on demand.
I swear, there is no crafting store, no fabric store that I have ever visited that hasn't gone away from that junky cabinet system. There has to be a better way, other than printing your own. If you have to have the big commercial patterns there, there's got to be a better way to store and display all those packets. There's got to be.
Right. And I know they don't go bad.
Right.
In other words, they don't have an expiration.
There's no expiration. They're just there unless they happen to be out of season, out of style, or maybe the manufacturer is like, okay, we're discontinuing this product. If you don't sell by X date, you need to return it. I mean.
Which is the other thing I was going to bring up is, you know, if you clearanced out some of the old ones that aren't selling, like say they haven't sold for 2 years.
Right.
I can understand 6 months. I can understand even a full year. Let's say it hasn't sold after 2 years. Cut the price in half.
Clearance it.
And get rid of it. And the point of that is, one, so that you're still making some money instead of having it sit there and make no money. And two, you free up that storage space for other things, whether it's newer patterns or if you want to just put something else in that display. So that it's still kind of win-win all around, because otherwise I realize that they get manufacturer credit when they send it back, mm-hmm. but then the manufacturer just holds on to it and it still doesn't sell.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point? It's kind of a waste. And those things end up going around in trade meets.
Yeah.
Whenever we have conventions and they're like, okay, what things do you have that you need to get rid of? And everybody puts down old patterns. Like, no, give them a good home, guys. Donate them to your local high school home ec teachers.
Or to your local theater company.
Yeah, you can teach kids how to sew things with those patterns, because the patterns are still good.
Oh yeah, they're still fine.
Sitting collecting dust on a shelf somewhere, and that makes me very sad.
Yeah.
Commercial patterns are not bad. They're just not everyone's cup of tea, and that's totally fine. But they're still great for teaching people the basics of sewing, which,
yes,
honestly, in my own humble opinion, everyone should have to take in school. Everyone should have to take home ec. Learn how to sew, mm-hmm. learn how to cook, learn basic etiquette.
Assuming the school system has home ec.
Well, In other words, if they don't have it, we should implement it. We should put it in there.
That
make
would
it available
be nice.
To them.
I agree with
this. We'll be talking about that later, Lester Candy. All right. Any other thoughts on printed patterns?
Nope, that's all I've got.
Awesome. Well, of course, if you guys would like to tell us about your experience with patterns, whether you're on the commercial pattern side, the printed pattern side, or on the draping, drafting, no pattern side, please feel free to join in the conversation via any of our social media, which, of course, you can find here.
For those of us watching, you know everything is located right underneath Amber. For those who are listening, visit us at cosplaypod.org, on Facebook or Instagram at cosplaypodcasts, excuse me, or on YouTube and Twitter at cosplaypodcasts. The bug was in my throat the second I hit Instagram.
It's not a bug, it's a feature. Or, of course, if you would like to share with us your pattern for Nick Cage merchandise or any sort of other regalia, please feel free to email us, podcast@cosplaypod.org, where, of course, you'll get an answer from both of us. And random more Nick Cage references, I'm sure, will follow.
Absolutely. I'm going to put it in our signature. New Nick Cage
of
quote
course.
Every day.
We'll answer back with a meme.
Yes.
Otherwise, we will wish you guys happy cosplaying. Please stay safe, stay healthy out there so that we can all meet again at our local convention ASAP. Please stay safe, everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.